We are Brightside.
Windows are so much money. A decent Windows, much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with the HERS ratings that are going on right now, it's like energy efficiency, it's so important. And if you don't have it, they'll be like, nope, doesn't. They don't make it. And you're like,
ugh. Yeah.
So it's – and that's the stuff. But it's like – so like I was saying the other day, it's like all of this stuff is adding up. Yeah. And you're like, I can't do the theater right now. I wanted to be doing this as we go because I'd literally be building it up. My plan was to build it on the weekend. We do this stuff and then I'd be down there framing out and doing everything on the weekend. And it's like, now it's like, all I can do is I have to finish the basement. Like it has to all be insulated and it's considered a finished basement, but it's just going to be wide open. Till we get occupancy. And then when we sell my parents' house, see how much money we've recuperated because we're putting, you know, the money's going into all these rocks.
Yeah.
And stuff. So.
What a project.
Yeah, it is. But one of the things is like, it is stressful at times. And that's what I was saying the other day. And that's why I was trying to say like, obviously you went through far worse. You lost stuff, right? And it's like, I mean, you had it, yours were like setbacks. Mine are like,
for sure.
My things are like, did I bite off more than I can chew type thing?
Right.
But,
and now there's no going back. You've point of no returns way past.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's like halfway to the ground and you're skydiving and you're not sure you wanted to do this. Did I make the right decision? and
your wife's looking at you like, make this happen.
Yeah, well, it's so funny because, I mean, she's literally a therapist. So,
yeah.
And it's
24/7.
Exactly. It's so sad. She like, and you know what else is funny? And it's not. And I actually have to write a letter because I don't think I could talk to him about it. My parents are afraid of me.
Or in what way?
They won't, like, if they text me or something, they'll like leave, and I don't reply right away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They'll be like, just leave them alone. I don't want them to get mad.
They know. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like people are just like, and what's so funny is my brother-in-law, the framer, is like, we've been now working together for like 2.5 weeks and he's a yeller. But he'll yell at you and he'll scream at you and then he'll apologize. But he's like, but he is super like meticulous about everything. So can you imagine? Have you ever done any framing? Have you ever done anything?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
You know what's so funny? You seem so hands-on, buddy. You do.
Not when it comes to that level. I don't build houses.
Have you ever framed a room? Have you ever done a wall? Have you ever, you know, anything like that?
like a mid-size shed.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but what I mean is like, some people haven't even done that. But what I mean is like, you know, like, okay, the studs have to be here. You have to do that. And it's like, you know how to put the sticks together, right?
Yeah.
Imagine doing a house like this size. And he is like, I did a wall today. I swear to, and I don't want to overstate this. The wall I did was literally like 2.5 feet long. It was that jut out wall that I told you, right? And, let me see if I can.
By the master?
This one right here, right? And, I'm not showing you the picture. Duh. So everybody's looking. But anyways, see this right here? See where my arrow is?
Yeah, by the guest room.
Yeah. That point right there. And what I'm showing him is basically it's a corner point of this wall. He got on me and yelled at me because he's like, you've got to get this tight, tight. This has to be perfect. We want this tight. See how it's tight down the bottom? It's got to be tight at the top, because if it's not, it's crooked. It's wrong. And he's like, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And he, and then he gets up on the ladder and he goes, I'll show you a trick on how to pull this even. And he goes, bang, 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 and he tightens it right up. Cause I was like, how the hell am I? Now I worked for him 20 years ago. I'm working again with him right now. And he keeps apologizing to me. And I'm like, stop apologizing. I'm loving this. And I just texted him before we got on. I was like, buddy, I'm loving it. I go, if you could pay me what I make, and I know you can't, I'd do this all day long. I'm having a ball. Cause you, it's teamwork. You're working as, you know, you're working with the guys. It's like, all right, we build the walls on the ground. Then it's like, everybody wall, boom, everybody runs over and you're like, put the wall up and you know, it's awesome. So, but I'm having a ball doing it. But he is so meticulous about everything. And on a project like this, when you're looking at like look at all that, like every joint, everything, he's so meticulous about it.
Yeah. And well, I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same way with cars. When I'm doing a car, you know, I know what I can get away with, but I also know if I need to be meticulous and I do, you know, but yeah. So and what I keep thinking is like, it wasn't inspired by home theater. I didn't say I'm going to build a house so I can have a new home theater, but my wife knew like the original idea for any of this was we were going to just add on to this house and I was going to like put in a like at least 25 by 24 room on the end of the house. That would be the addition. And that would be the theater underneath. And then the, and it was going to be upstairs. You'd have to take a step up because I was going to raise that foundation so that I would have a higher ceiling and do all that. I was going to do it here. And my wife wanted a bigger living space for the grandkids and stuff. So we'd have a bigger living space and everything. And then of course this all progressed to my son needed a house, and in this market with him, it's like, I can't afford something. So it's like, we can help him in the way that I just rent it to him until he can afford to buy it off of us.
Sure.
Right. So that's working. And then of course it progressed from there as we're shopping for houses for ourselves. My parents needed a place to live. So it's like, why don't we just build an in-law, one with an in-law? And it was like, you know, but everything underneath it, it was always like, okay, I'll get to build my theater. I get to do a 9-foot foundation. I'll get to do this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but in the meantime, it's like, I thought everything was right, but you never know what's going to happen. And the budget went out the window.
I know.
And you can't skimp, you know, like my poor wife on the cabinets, she was skimping on the cabinets and I had no idea about it. I had no idea. It wasn't the cat. She's like, I hate those cabinets.
Oh no. I was like, don't start that.
I was like, why are we getting them then? She goes, well, it's too expensive to get the other ones, the ones she liked. And I didn't even know this. That was her one project. I'm like, it's your kitchen. So she had settled on this wood that she didn't like it enough. It wasn't like the kind of wood finish she wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, email the guy tomorrow, find out what the price upgrade is. And she's not very good with numbers and stuff. So it was like our cabinet allotment was like $20,000. And the ones that she picked came in at 21. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, but he said the other ones are a lot more. And I'm like, do you understand that like if it's 20% more, that's only like $4,000. It's only $4,000 to get
to have what you want and you're happy.
Yeah. I go, it's not like it's doubling. Do you get that? Cause what she did and the way I found out is when it came in at 21, she was trying to lower it because she got the finish that she wanted in the master bath. But the master bath is just this, it's a 6-foot cabinet, right?
Sure.
And that's it. How much is that? Yeah. I go, it's not going to save that much by changing to the other one. It'd knock off like $200.
and the mental anguish. I mean, eventually you learn to live with it if you compromise, but every day you wake up, you walk into your kitchen, you're like, I wish I would have. I wish I would have.
Right.
And that's an expensive toll on your emotions.
Yes.
To say, I wish I would have every day. So just do it, you know?
Well,
figure it out.
That's what I said. So,
yeah.
So on that Monday, she emails the guy, Brian, doing our cabinets, and Brian emails back and he says, yeah, it'll be like 28 to 30,000 total. Uh-huh. And she was like, that's too much. And then I emailed Brian privately and I was like, call me. And I was like, give me a sales pitch. What am I paying for here? And he goes, oh, it's a completely different line. It's a better cabinet, blah, blah, blah. I was already going to do it. I was just like, I just want to know what else I'm getting besides the finish. Sure. And he goes, oh, they're made. I mean, it's just a complete.
Like the hinges, soft closing, better, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, fun stuff. Yeah.
The funny thing is even the line that we were getting has all that.
Okay.
But this is even better. It's got better backing. He goes, when you go to install them, he goes, you'll love it. He goes, it's got a better wood in the back and blah, blah, blah. He goes, he even got down to they change the blades at the factory, you know, where they make them.
Oh, wow.
They're basically, it's a custom cabinet company, but we don't need custom, but that's what we're getting. Right. So I was like, well, do me a favor, put us in for that. Don't tell her. This was a week and a half before Valentine's Day. I go, I'm going to give it to her for Valentine's Day. If it wasn't Valentine's Day coming, I just would have told her. But so I go, and can you send me a picture of our kitchen with those cabinets so I can put it in the card? And he's like, yeah.
Nice.
So he was all excited. He goes, I've never given cabinets for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think anybody has. So that was on Monday. He calls me Wednesday and he goes, you were right. He goes, they aren't 28 to 30. He goes, it's 24-5.
Nice.
Cause I was listening. I just didn't know those were the ones she wanted, but it came in at 24-5 and I felt bad. Cause I'm like, you should get your numbers right. Cause most people would have just backed out, you know, and you would have missed that sale. But
yeah.
So we did it on Valentine's Day. I got the picture, put it in a card. So my wife's on this medication that she can't cry. She has this really bad headache thing. She's on a bunch of different medications for like
these. Is that good for a therapist? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
What was sad is when my kids went to college, she didn't cry. She couldn't cry. You know, when my daughter got married, she couldn't cry. I bawled.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Right. And it's like, I'm like, can I get some of that? And she actually suggested it for my daughter's wedding. Cause she knew how nervous I was about like what was going to happen. And I'm like,
yeah,
no, that would break her heart. Cause she knows me. She was like, dad's too emotional. If all of a sudden I'm stoic at her wedding, she'd be like, what the hell? So she can't cry. I gave her that card. She cried. That's how powerful those cabinets were. Like you said though, John, you were like, it's an emotional thing the rest of your life. And to get what you want and all the sacrifices she's making to have my parents down on the end, it's like the money we're paying for that. And it's like, she's like sacrificing. I'm like, don't sacrifice in a foundational piece like the cabinets. Cause we're never doing those again.
Uh-huh.
You know,
for sure.
But
yeah,
it's
good.
Oh yeah. So how now?
Looking forward when you invite us all over.
Well, I've said it before, but I'm hoping it'll be kind of an open door thing once that'll be a couple of years from now by the time everything's done. But I want it to be one of those like a fun thing to do. I mean, not that people come out to this area of the country anyways.
Yeah. Only been in that area like once.
Yeah. How did your meetup go?
The most recent one.
You know what's funny? Right after we talked, you told me about that in a Patreon chat, right? I think it was where you told me you had 14.
No, it was actually on X, Twitter, because I was trying to choose blue or black shirt.
But you did tell – no, I saw that just yesterday, and that's why I was
I might have mentioned it somewhere else too.
Yeah, we were in a Patreon chat. Remember we talked about having that many people in the room and the calibration being different?
Right, yeah, for sure.
So I hung up from that chat, and I went upstairs, and I said to my wife, I go, can you look up flights to Texas? And I was like, if it was possible, I was going to, if it if it was affordable, I was going to ask you, and I'm like, can I come down too? And, but I didn't want to, I wanted to make sure I could do it before I asked. And then when she saw the prices and stuff, and I was like, oh, I can't swing that. Not right now.
Yeah.
But it was crazy, stupid money. And I was like, no, I think it was like 700 one way and then another. It's like, cause I needed to get down and back, but I was like,
yeah. So like spur of the moment. Yeah. They're going to charge you for that.
But I would have loved to have asked you. That would have been fun. I would have been, cause it sounded like fun. It was audio files, right?
Right. So we started a little meetup group here. Home theater curious or people that had home theaters. And it was kind of a group that developed from people that had gone to Youth Man's M-Wave. And then we found out that a few of us are DFW people. And then we kind of started one, even though we know there's probably meetups already out here in DFW, but we couldn't find them. They're not advertising.
Right.
You know, they're not trying to get more people or whatever. So we started our own, and we probably have like active maybe, you know, 20, 25 people that are in there. And so one of those people, he's an audiophile himself. And I mean, I'm sure there are a few, but so the combo audiophile / cinephile home theater guy, he was meeting up with another audiophile who was in an audiophile meetup group, who get together kind of like we do once or twice every other month. And so through their meeting, going over two channel systems, because audiophiles it's their own world, right? Yeah. They're just left and right. There's no center. There's no subwoofer. It's pure. And they're trying to recreate a surround sound experience of those instruments in just two channels. And it can be very, very, very high end. But they have their own brands, they have their own speakers. And sometimes, unless you're in that world, you've never even heard of it. If you're in the home theater world almost exclusively, like I am, you wouldn't even know their brands. You're like, I've never even heard of that. It's completely different. But so this, this person, so I have my common friend, that kind of flows between the two lifestyles. And so
lifestyle.
So this guy, I think he saw maybe one of the videos, because I have a few different YouTube videos out there, whether it be through Dream Media, who built and designed my theater, or it could have been, I did a recent podcast with it's Haterade Cowboy.
Did you know me?
Yeah, well, he asked.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he had asked just again through some common connections, and he is down in the Houston area. And he said, hey, I'm coming up to do a few, what would you call it? Like going from just like theater tours, going from one theater tour to another, kind of like what Youth Man does sometimes. And it's Haterade, Hator, HATORAID. Haterade Cowboy. And he has an up and coming podcast, and he's gaining more followers, and he does, you know, unboxings and such, but he was doing this theater tour of the DFW area. So I was one of his stops. So it was either that podcast or one of the Dream Media ones, but this audiophile who started that group. He said, he had seen one of the videos and said, hey, do you mind if I bring some people over? So I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I love doing it. I don't care. It's wonderful. And so he brought over, like, I think it ended up being like probably like 15 or 16.
Wow.
Audiophiles. But that's totally, I was like, okay, this isn't two channel. You know, this is a different experience, and you don't know how they're going to receive that, because they're like, that's way too many. But, you know, it's totally different. Yeah. But I mean, I knew they were going to be polite, but it's a little intimidating, because they're like, I mean, they know their stuff. I mean, some of them are engineers, and they are very dialed into their two channel world.
Yeah.
And in their two channel, and their, you know, their, whether it be their turntables or their, you know, all of their their amplifiers and everything, they can rival the cost of a, you know, 16 channel home theater setup, you know.
Yeah.
There's just, you know,
there's always money to spend out there, John.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I didn't know how it was going to be received, even though I know they were going to be polite. So, but most of them just absolutely loved it. They're asking tons of questions, way more questions than just the average person that doesn't really know anything about it, which I knew. So I was semi ready for that. So yeah, they enjoyed it. They got a kick out of it. They were emailing me even the next day and texting me saying that was so wonderful and neat. And, so they really enjoyed it. Some of the questions they were like, well, why, you know, they were asking like, you know, some things about subwoofers or about center speakers and why the crossover is at 80 Hertz. And what about putting the low frequency on the center? Things that I'm like, well, the LFE goes through the subwoofer, but it's questions that in their mind in made their sense. Mind,
yeah.
But I was like, I didn't even know how to answer because you don't do that. Like, that's not how it works. And that's dialogue as a center speaker. So it's just questions that they had because they're coming from a totally different perspective.
A perspective, but I hesitate, but why should I? my listeners are faithful, but I feel like there's a certain segment of audiophiles that it's like they've been told, taught, and it's like bass needs to come from the speakers, or there's like, I know from history that they don't understand subwoofers, which to me is weird because they don't believe in them. A lot of that has to do with a lot of music doesn't go as deep as movies do.
Of course.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it's not as necessary. But at the same time, I feel like it's a lot of their stuff is dated, right?
Maybe.
It's dated information where, I talked with Brent Butterworth about this, and because he says the same thing. He's like, audiophiles are, they're brutal. They can be.
Yeah.
They're not all, right? And it's like, but they can be because they're so like indoctrinated into like, it has to be this way. But wait, it's like, we all learned like, what, in the early 2000s into the maybe 2010 and on, it's like all the science coming, the Harman research and everything of like subwoofers and how they work and how you can do this. And it's like, there's so much more information in learning about how the frequencies move. And I don't feel like they're doing that.
That could be,
you know,
I know. And they were, so as I did my normal demo of all the different movie clips, they were loving it. But then towards the end, I switched to, cause I don't have anything like, Cubuzz or what's the other one?
Oh yeah. Like audio, you know, like, I know what you're saying.
It starts with T, I think. Title.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't have those. I just have Apple Music, but there's a lot of good Apple Music, Atmos, spatial audio. So I did all the movies and I knew this is where I was going to get hairy. Cause I on the Kaleidoscape, I did, Live in Prague.
What'd they think of that?
They liked it. And a few of them knew about it because they have, of course, have the CD or the high lossless download version.
Yeah.
So, why can't I think of his name? Cause I'm on a podcast. So all the names go out the window.
Right.
Hans Zimmer. So they did the Hans Zimmer Live in Prague on Kaleidoscape. And then I had some stuff ready for, just spatial audio off of Apple Music. And then it started because that's stuff that they're used to hearing, right?
Yeah.
And now they're hearing it in Atmos, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody and all the Hans Zimmer stuff, you name it, of course, from Prague. And then, I don't know, just some classic rock and stuff and Beatles and Guns N' Roses stuff that was in Atmos. And then the critique started flying, like, it doesn't sound natural. And I'm like, cause it's all around you. I'm like, cause then that was what now they had something to compare it to.
Right.
And they're like, I don't like that material I can hear above my head.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like hearing it behind me and hearing, because Bohemian Rhapsody sounds awesome because you get different voices coming out of different speakers all over your room, and it sounds wonderful. Exactly. But to them, that was so perverse.
Right.
That even though they were polite, they were like, I got to bust you on that. Like, they were not – it was just different.
Yeah.
And they didn't know if they could handle it, some of them. You know, they were like, I don't know if I like that. So it was funny that once we got to the music stuff, they were like, hold on now. What are you doing to my pure two channel, you know? So it was funny.
Well, but what's the other part that's funny about it is, do they even stop to maybe think that what you're experiencing there is something that they intended, the artists intended? That's what they kind of want. And it's like, yes, you can listen to it in two channel, but here, because a lot of that's why they started doing, like when Apple first started putting out the stuff in iTunes, they're not only doing it for us to hear it at home. They want to get that feedback. But from the stuff I was reading, it was also an example to the artists themselves for new material to be coming out. And this is what you can do. Here's what it'll sound like in two channel, but you can add this into it. And now all of a sudden people like us are like, wow, listen to, you know, almost trying to get a new market. Like, I don't typically sit in my theater and listen to music, but all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is pretty good. And when it first came out, yeah, it was. And I'd have people over and I'm like, check this out. Like you said, we did all those. But for me, that's just not something I'm going to do all that. I'd rather go watch a movie and have sound and sights and sounds, you know?
Of course.
But it you know, that I heard a lot of audio engineers complaining over the last year about Atmos. And that they have to upgrade their tech and their studios so that they can produce in Atmos and stuff, because a lot of the streamers are saying, like Apple and stuff, they're like, we don't want it unless it's in Atmos.
Yeah.
Like, if you're making new material, it's got to be in Atmos. And they don't, these people, the engineers are like, why? Why do I have to do that? You know, and it's like, because it's backwards compatible and upgradable. And it's like, it could still sound good in two channel, but it can also have this effect as well. And that's, you know, so for the people coming in, they go home and listen to that same track. They can hear it their way. But now in your theater, you can hear it your way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
that's a lot of them don't want to change, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was a good experience. And a lot of them want to bring their families back out. So I'm like, okay. Well, you know, set a time and we'll try to make something happen. So, I mean, obviously they wouldn't want to be coming back and bring their kids and wife if they didn't enjoy it. So that's nice to hear. And yeah, that'll probably continue to some degree. So,
how a good experience. Like, you don't know these people at all.
I didn't know any of them. I had met none of them. Yeah.
And now you're going to get to know their families and what kind of popcorn they like.
Yeah, exactly.
What movies?
It's good though. It's expanding the community because now it has them thinking. It has them thinking because now since I was the host for that, they took me out to dinner afterwards.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, totally. And then so a few of them were asking like, okay. And some of them have like, you know, small, decent theaters, just something simple.
Yeah.
Nothing too huge. And there were like one or two that did have a dedicated spot, but most of them did not. So like, okay, what's the price? What do you think I can do this for? So you know that, you know, it's like, well, man, that's like asking, okay, what kind of money for a two channel? You know, it's like, what's your budget?
Well, that's,
you know, you could have a crate from scratch. If you're careful, you could do it for $10,000. Like, I'm talking scratch, right? You don't have you don't have a receiver. You don't have room treatments. You just have this room and you want to make it. You could do it for $10,000.
Yeah.
It might not be everything you want, especially if you want it to be equivalent to your audio two channel room,
right?
You know, and if you want like, and you know, cause, and that's probably with a TV of, you know, 75, 85 inch, you could do it for $10,000. You know, if you want to go next level, $20,000 could open up all the doors for you. You know, it does not have to be six figures. So, but then it's kind of hard for me because I know the speakers that I have. You're not doing that for 20,000.
No.
So I was thinking, you know, best bang for your buck, probably, you know, like something you're really going to enjoy. You're really going to be able to impress your friends and family. But it's not going to be crazy expensive because, you know, they have a budget too, is probably SVS.
Yes. Especially now with the new line. That's more expensive, but I cannot wait to hear those for myself.
Right.
But from when I saw them and the day they came out and I literally called Ara and I'm like, well, he texted me. He's like, did you see these things? And I was like,
well, plus it's made everything else go down. Right now the Ultras are less expensive. I don't know if the Pinnacles went down, but now they're having a big sale because of this new line. So I'm like, game on. This is when you do it.
Right.
You know?
But I was like the curve in them. And I'm like, is that like legit? Like, how does that work? And he's like, no, that's legit. He goes, that does mean something. And he explained the tech to me and everything. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said it in last, in Tuesday's show, but I didn't say it in the live show, but we are sitting down with SVS, R and I. Ooh, me, Ara, nice. Braden, and Steve are sitting down with, let me see if I can pull up the email while we're chatting here and I can actually get the gentleman.
The listeners are going to think that I had something written down to cue this.
No. That's what I love. No, none of this
was not prompted.
No,
right?
Anybody that's been on the show with me, they know there's no cues. There's no nothing. Yeah. Because how many times do we stop and I'm like, ah, crap, I forgot to talk about this, or I forgot, like, I forgot to mention the show we're doing. I forgot to mention it yesterday.
I mean, if someone came in and said, I don't have a budget, sky's the limit. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, JBL Synthesis or Wisdom or, oh, what's that one brand? I can't even remember the name. It's really, really, really high end.
Well, you can get Focals, you can get,
it's more than that.
More than, but you can get high, I mean, see, to me, it's like, you get to a certain point and that's when you're getting, it's almost like a little bit of diminishing returns.
And it's just incremental.
Yeah, it's so incremental. And then you get to a point where it's like, now it's like fit and finish that you're looking for, like the beauty of the piece too. And that's, you know, so, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for that. You know, it's like when I talk about what speakers I want to get and everything and I'm willing to spend the money for, there's reasons behind it. And part of it, I don't know if I've said it on the show, so I don't really want to talk about it right now, but, part of it is some of it has nothing to do with any performance or aesthetics. It's literally just something like there's another aspect that I'm like, I need these. So it's.
Well, at SVS, I mean, when you don't know and you're starting from scratch, the fact that they have a return policy that probably rivals anyone, right? You could send it back.
Yeah.
You know, that speaks a lot for like, try it out, go for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, I know that you do it with their the thing is the subwoofers, they always warn you though, please measure. It's like, because these are a pain in the butt to go back and forth. But
they're so heavy.
Yeah. It's, and that's why I think you get your bang for your buck there.
What kind of subs are yours again? I forget. Well, your current ones. I don't know what you're going for
PBs,
later. But.
PB 2000.
Oh yeah. No, that's right. You have the two, you're going with the
I have two PBs. Right now in the new room,
you're going to the cylinder ones.
I want to go, because I think they're going to fit the best. I'm going to go to four.
And those are sealed or ported?
Those are ported.
Okay.
PBs are ported. The cylinders, I believe, are ported.
Right, P.
Yeah. PB, right. Ported box.
Instead of the SB. Yeah.
Sealed box.
Yeah.
Cylinder box.
So you're going with P, you're going with PCs, ported cylinders?
Yes. PC.
Okay.
Probably 2000s, four of them in the space that I'm in. That should pressurize that space. I think we'll see what happens. We'll see what it's like. I'll talk to them once I know the actual specs of the room. Having a 9-foot close to a 9-foot ceiling adds, you know, more Q cubic footage than I'm used to.
Do they make sealed in the cylinder version?
I don't think so. I think that, I think, what do they have? PC2s and PC3000s, I think, something like that, right? I forget.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
And if I need to go bigger, it's more, at this point, it's more about need. Like, what do I need? I don't, especially with the subs, I'll go a little bit more than I need because we always do. But
absolutely.
But I don't want to go like, I know like when we were first, this was months ago, when we were first talking about the room and you're like, no, you got to go to like the ultras or whatever. The, what do you have? You don't have
the JTR line,
right?
But it's the RTJ line, okay, of the JTR company, and I have 4/18s, and I think I was saying no, you got to get 16s or
that. 16. Yeah, you're telling me I got to get four. I might. I don't know. I don't know what the space. I don't know what the inside space is going to need to get to the level. The worst thing to me would be is if I build a bigger room and I don't get the same pressurization that I get in this room, you know?
Well, but with those cylinders, the footprint's relatively so small.
Yeah.
Then you go up to six, you go from 4 to 6. I mean, maybe not instantly, right? Cause everyone's got a budget, but the footprint's small that you could do that behind a couple seats or next to the seats. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's always a way to do it, especially with that small cylinder footprint.
Yeah. And I was actually thinking of like, you put two in the back and then maybe two in the front, and I could actually build them and put them up. Yeah. So they're staggered. So instead of being like, you know, not only are they across the room from each other in the appropriate way, but like have some up and two down, you know, so you'd have them crisscross, something like that. And I don't know. You know, maybe it's cheap. Maybe it's better, like you said, to go with a smaller, but more of them, or you know what I mean?
Gosh, I don't know.
I don't know.
My suggestion. I don't know. I think it was Youth Man that I heard this from, but totally my philosophy as well is just mine isn't going more and smaller. Mine is get the most the largest one you can afford, and then budget up for the next one. Because I think you're going to be happier. No, I don't mean you, right? I just mean if someone's like, "Ah, oh, I can't afford more than a 12-inch," but I know I need like four of them. Okay, get a 15 or an 18, and just get one right now. Put it in and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And then a year from now, get another one. Because it makes so much difference.
Yeah.
And you know what you're doing. You've been doing it longer than me. I'm just talking for a newbie that, you know, that's trying to budget out and figure it out. Like, get the biggest subwoofer you can and worry about multiples a year or two down the road.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If you're new to this, I would recommend highly like getting a single for the space and learning about it, right? Listen to AV Rant. Do Rob's 12-step guide to setting up a subwoofer, right? And the only reason that we go to multiple subs is so that multiple positions in the room can have equally the same experience.
Exactly. Exactly.
One sub in a room, if I was just a hermit, a single guy in a cabin, I'd probably still have five subs, but all you need is one sub positioned perfectly and you're going to get the exact same experience, right?
Yep. But when you're trying to host people, you want everyone to freak out and so you've got to have multiples. Yeah.
Yeah. So and that, I think that especially when you're first starting out is a great way to learn, right? If you just have somebody come in and they put it in, you end up as an audiophile and you don't even know why the subwoofers work.
Yeah. So what other company, everybody, you know, you don't want to make SVS angry. not that DJ bows down to anyone. Nope. But besides SVS, and if someone has a newbie, you know, as a newbie and they're like, you know what, that's why I always go to them. Best bang for your buck.
Yeah.
SVS. What other speaker company would you recommend? Like a mid-level JBL or, I mean, I'd still recommend
NHTs if you can hunt them down.
NHTs.
They're so neutral, so great and cheap. I'd say.
But yeah, but that's, they don't have anything new though, right? They don't have new lines out.
No.
Yeah. So you'd have to find them used.
I would say, and like I said to, the other thing is I would say, I've been saying to my son-in-law, Greg, I'm like, look at, and that's why SVS is so good with their return policy. Look at return policies. Even if you go to the store, just try them. Take them home, try them. It's, to me, it's anybody telling you what is a good speaker, you know, without any information, they're wrong.
Right. You know, Klipsch is out there, but Klipsch are so unique, right? And they're a horn. So you might not like horn. You might need a compression or want a compression.
Right.
So yeah, it's hard to just tell someone like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's the thing. It's like a Klipsch is like, they're so, to me, it's like they're harsh. They have that horn. They have their place, but they need to be dialed in right. And I think a lot of people, they have a huge following. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, they're just told, these are great speakers. Get these. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's what stinks is when you're new. And if you're asking questions, it means you don't know. So you don't know the information you're getting is good or bad. And that's why it's like, I think everybody listening knows this stuff. That's why but it's like, if you are looking for information and somebody gives you an answer without asking you a question back, that's not an answer you want, right? What kind of speaker should I get? Well, first off, what's your budget? But what room size? What are you looking for? What are you trying to do? There's so many. And then get into projectors. Like, what's the best projector? Well, what's your room size? What are you looking for? What do you, I mean, there's so many things. And if somebody just goes,
what kind of haircut should I get?
Right.
Like, you want me to tell you what kind of, I can't do that. What do you want?
It's like
this is so personal.
Imagine somebody walked out of the ocean and they have no idea about anything. And they're like, oh, I want a car. That looks great. What should I get? Are you going to be hauling stuff? Are you going to be racing? Are you going to be just driving around? Do you not want to spend money on gas? What are you looking for? There's so many options you can do with these things, right? And too many people are like so happy with their stuff that they just want to tell you that like you should get this. And it's like, no, that's not how it works because they might not hear like you. They might not see like you. They might not care about the stuff you care about and like aesthetics or whatever. So I just always like recommend like find your budget and then just start searching around for speakers that then you'll have that knowledge. Or if you can find somebody like you can ask us or you can ask, you know, AV Rant or HT Guys or there's a bunch of places. I think the reason those two podcasts are popular is because they do ask the right questions back.
Right.
And it's like AV Rant in particular, they'll get it and be like, what kind of speaker should I get? And that's where they get their name. And they're like, well, what's your room? they start yelling at you on the show.
You better be ready.
Yeah, exactly. Like, question. What good is this? It's like, you know, and I wrote into them years ago before I had a show. I wrote into them. I was thinking about upgrading my speakers. I told them what I had. I told them my room dimensions and they recommended three different price points. They said SVS was the middle. They had RBH, and something else. And I almost went with the RBH and I think my son ended up in a hockey tournament or something. We had to go away. So there goes the budget. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. And I just stayed with what I had. But, you know, when you got a little money.
Yeah, RBH, like, that might have been one of the ones I was thinking of that is pretty dang high end, I think.
But I was looking at bookshelves. So I was trying to do my front end and I was thinking of RBH and stuff. But I almost ended up.
I would say if someone had, again,
I don't think Ultra, SVS didn't even have Ultras.
I would say go JTR. Like if you don't have time and you want someone to tell you what to do and you have a decent budget, then, and you don't want to think about it and someone maybe is going to build it for you, just go JTR. You're going to be so happy with their subs, with everything. But like, if you're like, I want to stay married, go SVS.
Yeah. Well, but you know, what's interesting to me is like when you go, the diminishing return speakers, it's kind of like, you're damned if you do or you're damned if you don't. If you get a good speaker, you're never upgrading that. I lived 25 right. years with my NHTs, which I,
yeah, that's
I
awesome. That's were, a good, yeah.
And think of by doing that, think of the money that I saved and was able to put into other things all those years.
Sure.
You know, my kids' sporting events and stuff, right? It, money went to that because I wasn't upgrading my speaker. I knew I had a good set. I was very happy with my speakers. I had zero FOMO, right?
Right.
So the rest of my home theater journey from then till I got the new ones, it was, oh, this new tech came out. Oh, HDMI came out. Oh, 1080p came out. Oh, you know, we got to 4K. I could invest in other things. And I watched my, I watched the progress of receivers all through the same speakers, right?
Yeah.
So it, to me, it's smart. That is a foundational piece that you might never, ever upgrade until yeah. like, especially if you're younger. I'm now at 50, I'm 54 this year. These speakers I'm going to buy, I'm never upgrading. 25 years from now, I'm hoping I'm still alive. And if I am, mm-hmm. I'm not thinking of upgrading my speakers.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, but that gives you that ability to keep going. Now you got guys like Johnny Speakers, Danny Speakers, people that love to just upgrade their, they love to mess with speakers. They love to hear different. That's the different part of the hobby. I like to, like, here you go. So I get the idea to spend on a good set of speakers, but I also think it's like, if you overspend for like, if you go too far on what your realistic budget is, then like going, like for me to go to like JTRs, I think that's a little too high for me. It'd be a great foundational piece, but I would actually have FOMO in the other direction. Like I'd spend so much money on my speakers. How many years is it going to take for me to be able to like, what did I have to skimp on otherwise?
Right.
Right. And yeah. that's, so I kind of didn't want to, I, you got to really be realistic with yourself and then also be able to live with that. What's your price point that you can live with for a long time? If that's what you're doing, yep. right?
Right.
Because all the other stuff, projectors, receivers, pre-pros, even amplifiers to a degree. I mean, amplifiers.
Yeah, you're probably going to be changing them.
You could be changing those out. And, yeah. but speakers, and like I said, with the NHTs, think of all of the progress I heard through the same set of speakers. If you know that's your foundation and you change out your receiver or a pre-pro or whatever, and you go, ooh, I hear a difference. It's like,
yeah,
it's the same stuff that you've been listening to for years. So,
yeah, I'd say everything except for, my Trinoff processor, you don't have to up, it can be upgraded. The chips, yes. the motherboard, that can be, and you pay a pretty penny up front, but you know that you're not going to have to get a new processor, but most companies, right. and that doesn't mean those other companies are bad, but a Marantz, you might.
No. You know, yeah.
Marantz, push it 10 years, you might be getting a new Marantz or yeah. a Denon or it's just, that's just the nature of what
Storm
it is. Storm
is the same thing. Storm Audio is the same way. They have the upgrade ability. So it's like,
yes.
like for instance, for people, like when you think about it, your Trinov, that's basically the same chassis, the same tech from what, 2014, 2015? Mm-hmm. And it's been, yeah. I know you didn't get it then, but what I'm saying is there are people with the same chassis that you yep. have.
And it's just built off a Linux system. Yep. It's a computer and has their own chipset. It's not a something that they license off like the other chipsets, you know, in the other.
Yeah. yeah. And you pay for the upgrades.
Absolutely.
But minimal compared to like, I'm thinking of getting, see, I would like to get a Trinov or a Storm, but at the outset right now, there's just no way. That's yeah. double
you need
like
Windows.
An AV10, right? Yeah. I already have that. I'm even saying like, just to get this room done, there's certain things in this room that I won't compromise on to start because I actually came up with an idea and I was thinking of talking about it here, but I thought, like, I was thinking, like, I'm going to move in and it's going to be months and months before that theater's done. It could be 6 months. It could be longer. It depends on what my parents' house sells and where the money comes from. And do I have to work more to get money? Like, when I say work more, it's like, say I, you know, I got to make 120% what I normally make, right? That way I can, you know, I have my lifestyle, but what I pay, but now to save, I usually work harder. So what do I got to do? So that could take a little longer. But I did think the other day, John, I was like, I did have an idea here in this house, in this room, and all of the equipment ended up at Rich Keefe's house, of making a small theater out of my podcast studio. And I'm like, what the heck? I got the space. I'm putting in a studio. Why don't I take some of my small stuff that I have left over here and literally make myself a theater with a nice OLED, a big OLED, and like a legit podcast studio that is the theater. And that's what I'm going to do. So now I will have a theater, but it, and then when it's done, when the big theater's done, I'll be podcasting in a room. That's why I kind of wanted to do it here, is because I could actually, I can link the Kaleidoscape and everything to the same, to both rooms.
Sure.
And then be able to be like, I can just watch in here. So if I wanted to talk about scenes, I can have them playing here. If I, you know, so when the big room's done, I'll watch a whole movie. Then when we go to do the show, I'll be in my studio and be like, all right, let's watch a movie, but it'll have a bigger table so I can have other people in to host. And
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, and I can do that. I can do that now. I have all the equipment. I can use the equipment I'm going to use in that theater, or, you know what I mean? It's like, and then as that theater, it gives me more time and more peace of mind, and have, like, I'll still have a theater, but now I'm big and I'm building the big one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then when you come to Kansas City for M-Wave, you know they're going to have some discounts on those.
Yeah, I know. You've been talking to me about that.
They're going to have discounts. Be ready. Just, be ready to.
Just to let the listeners know, you were trying to tell me to like rent a U-Haul. You're like, you could get so much stuff, but I don't have the, I don't have the cash. I don't.
But you are going to need a TV for your podcast room for your temporary theater, right?
I know.
Because you got. I mean, that's at least a 75 incher, if not a 90, right?
I was thinking around 80.
Okay. 88.
88. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking like an 80, something like that. If I can pull it off, if I can find a sale or something like that. But what did I tell you when we were talking privately? What did I tell you why I won't do that at M-Wave to Michael?
Oh, that's right. Cause you think people are going to judge you that
not me, him. I wouldn't do that to his listeners. And it's like, if anybody,
right, you're taking the deal away from someone else.
Right. It'd be like, because I know a lot of those deals, they go into like almost, some of them are raffled. Some of them are like bid. Some of them are doing things. And if all of a sudden like DJ got something really cool, and I know I'm not as big as Michael, but if anybody, all it takes is one person to be like, oh, they're friends. And we're not. I mean, we are, but we're not. It's not like he's, he doesn't really, I mean, we're podcast. Co-workers.
Colleagues.
Colleagues. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But it's the perception, right? And I would never want to do that to anybody else.
Okay.
Right? So.
I'm just trying to help you out. Help you get some deals.
I know. I honestly, and it's like this, in the worlds we're living in, buddy, I don't really, I mean, I can use help. Do we need it? It's like, if I have to get a 77, I'll get a 77. You know, but that's why I talk to the listeners, listeners support. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I want the listener support. But yeah, so that's what I'm actually kind of excited for it now, that like that idea. So now I can
build slower
and do it right. But now I have two rooms in the house that are like, oh wow. Let's go to the podcast studio and we can, you know, and that's why I'm thinking this will be a fun little destination thing. Like people want to come and watch a movie and do a do a show live with me. There you go. So
yeah, you have a purpose built room for it, and
yeah,
it'll, I don't know, quench that need for something immediate on your big one. Cause having a smaller room will be fun to make, and it still has its main purpose.
Yeah. It'll be fun to make, and then it'll be fun to compare. Like, I have quite a few listeners actually that are like, oh, I watched this in my room with, and they'll tell me their setup. And then they went to another room and watched the scene in that room. And to be able to go back and forth like that, I think in actually calibrate the two rooms, or like people come over and they see the big theater and be like, oh man, and be like, hey, come in this room and you can see, this is a little one. You can have that, you know, it's like a mini CD.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it's like,
that's a good idea.
I'm kind of excited for it. And it's like, one of the things I want to do is when I'm podcasting, I had this idea, John knows I had this a long time ago when we're doing chat. It's like the backdrop. If I get a big enough screen, I can actually sit in front of it and I can make it look like, you know, kind of like the volume that they did for like Mandalorian. Yeah. So like whatever I want to put back there, I can have back there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's just like you're sitting in front of this giant screen and
you could do that.
Put whatever you want back there and be like, oh, look at that. I'm in Aruba right now.
Right.
Yeah. Or I'm in John's theater right now.
You know? You can switch it out. Yep. You wouldn't need a green screen.
No. Yeah. It's just, and then I just turn around, I can watch a movie. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. That has me a little bit more excited. And I do like the idea of, I tend to, like, if I didn't have something, I tend to work too fast to get it. And it might cut corners or something, but I'm like, no, because this theater is like, I'm really excited to do this one right and do everything like as perfect as I can possibly do it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like.
So the mini room would give you a little bit more patience.
Yes. With the big room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So that'll be
fun. Nice. Yeah.
Do you ever come up here? Do you ever have a reason to come up to Massachusetts?
No.
Do you now?
Yeah. Now I at least have a reason. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I hate Massachusetts.
I just never. No, it's just not. It's not on the stopovers anywhere. I spent one night traveling to New York overnight, and there was a stopover in, where was it? Boston.
Oh,
right?
Really?
There's an international airport there, right?
Yeah, Boston. Logan.
Yeah. So it was Logan. Yeah. And literally it was going to be 5-hour layover. So my wife and I went to this this diner, Starlight. Oh, I forget what it's called. It's a famous, like 24-hour diner that's been in a bunch of movies, and we took a taxi cab there, but that's the only time I've ever been to Massachusetts. So there's nothing to do for 5 hours.
Yeah.
We got in a taxi cab, went to this diner, had got something to eat, say we had been there, and then cab back to the airport. So
nice.
But yeah, that's my only experience.
All right.
Which is horrible. I know
it's funny.
There's so much culture and history there.
Yeah. Josh from Kaleidoscape. He was, when I talked to, he's been on the show and stuff, and we kind of like, we were talking about before the show and everything. We were like, oh, where are you from? Blah, blah. And he's like, I actually grew up in Needham, Massachusetts. I was like, really? I go, I was born in Needham. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. And so, I go, I live out west right now, like underneath Worcester. So he was out here. He was out here in Cooperstown. Now he lives out in California, out by with Kaleidoscape, right? So he was in Cooperstown for his son's baseball tournament or something. They made it to the finals or something. So he was out here and he was coming down the Mass Pike, which like goes right through the middle of Massachusetts. And he texted me and he's like, where are you? And he goes, where's your theater?
Nice.
And it was like, I just thought, like, I was lucky I saw it. And he just happened to be coming through. And he's like, I wanted to show my kids your theater. And it's like, he's never seen, I mean, he's seen pictures of it, right? But he's like, I wanted to, but he couldn't make it. He was like, it's too far down. And he's like, and we had to get, he was heading to his parents' house in Needham. But then he was like, we'll get together this week. I'm here until like Saturday. So I was like, all right. So we met in Dedham for lunch on the Friday or whatever. But I was like, out of the blue, I was like, that's awesome. Like, he's another one. Like I know him, but I'd never met him. I know him through stuff like this, but just out of the blue, I was like, what the heck? I'm like, Josh from Kaleidoscape is texting me. Cause I'm like, when I set these shows up, I'm like, here, call me if you need me, you know, something. But
that's cool. Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
Eventually they'll hit you up. Eventually it happens.
And I thought that was cool. Huh?
Eventually it happens. Eventually one of those contacts are near you and you'll get that call.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. So, which is cool. Cause he was one of the few people when I went to Cedia that I had already met. I literally met him like 3 weeks earlier. That was like, it was kind of cool. Like I think, was he the first? Maybe, no, Ara. I met Ara before, but I think, he was like one of the first people that I was like, you do this stuff, right? And you don't know heights of people. It was weird. But
like Todd Anderson, I remember that's what you said when you ran into him.
Yeah, you saw the pictures, right? We're roughly, he's a little taller than me, but he's a big guy. Travis, tall guy. Brett Bjorkqvist, he's about my height, maybe a little tall, but we're all like bigger guys. But then Josh is shorter. Nick is about my height, maybe a little shorter. Nick from SVS. Larry from SVS, he's shorter. You know, it's like, so everybody's equal height on a podcast like this because we all center our cameras.
Right. You know, I had no idea.
Tom Andre, I haven't met him yet, but we talk. Like we laugh because he's big into cycling as I am too. And we were talking and he's a typical cyclist. He's like 5'4", 5'5". So like he's really small. Cyclists are typically smaller people, longer legs. It's hard to get them to go around that many times. It's usually not a hobby for a taller person, but, or a sport, but he's said that to me before. He said it on the show too. He's like, you meet me in person, you'll be like, hey. So, but yeah, Todd's a big boy. Yeah, he's funny. But you are going to M-Wave, right? So I'll meet you there. I'll meet you at M-Wave.
No, that'll be good.
And my wife.
Well, I'm like 5'9", so
yeah,
right. You know.
Yeah. That's fine.
So you know what we're eye level to look for to find me.
Yeah. That's funny. Which sweatshirt did you go with?
Well, it was just two t-shirts.
Oh, t-shirts, sorry.
So when I did that, I was like, okay, do I get Bright Side Home Theater black shirt or blue shirt? I went black.
Okay.
Because the audio files are more reserved.
There you go.
You know, it was like the black tie. So I had to represent, but you know, it was
black
the more
tie.
Formal. It was
Bright
the formal
t-shirt.
Of the two.
Yeah. Did they all say,
if it was
what
my
the
home theater
that?
Buddies, I'd go blue because they're fun.
Yeah.
But with, you know, a bunch of audio files, you got to go, you know, formal.
Yeah. You got to work blue.
Yeah.
you work blue.
Yeah.
Actually, you know why I went with blue is, and he just dropped out and he just dropped back in. Now I got to bring him back in though. And there he is.
Who lost who?
I don't know. I didn't go anywhere. I'm still here.
You froze for a second and then came back. I don't know.
Yeah. You dropped out and then I had to bring you in, but I was still here. So.
Yeah. Who knows? You were saying why you chose blue.
We had done Brightside Chat t-shirts on the other podcast and those were black. And then when I did this one, I was like, well, I can't do black again. I mean, you can, but especially now, but I was like, that's why I went with the blue to differentiate. So like even in my closet, I'd have black and I get I know the black ones are my Brightside Chat and those ones, it's basically the same logo instead of saying home theater and, you know, picture and sound. It's, movies across the top, comics and television.
Got it.
So and it, but bright side with the same logo in the middle.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I feel it's so funny. I said it in the live show. You heard me yesterday in the live show. I'm like, I haven't been in the community. I haven't been in the, you know, I pick up my phone and like, I'll like something. I'll look at it and it's like my screen time has gone down, but even just finding my own community that I found, I'm like, that's why I felt so bad yesterday. I was like, oh man, that was like 3 days ago when I finally saw
you. So that X Twitter community, they made it harder to find. So I don't know if many people are going to it now. Like you click on your profile and then you can see communities, but it used to be very easy. It was like an icon.
Yeah.
And now it's like embedded within a few things. So I think it hasn't been as active since they rearranged some of the pathways to get to it.
Yeah. And Todd and I have been talking and I want to get the green room going more and maybe maybe step out of the green room and make it just more into AV Nirvana and get more chat going there and stuff.
Yeah. No one's posted in there in a long time.
I know.
For whatever reason.
See, what I find in some of those things, they become too segregated, meaning like different topics. So you got to pop out and go to different topics here and there. Whereas in like on Twitter's like all the topics are there. It's just whatever we're talking about today. So that's why it's like, and then people are like, I'll start this thread. But then if you don't, you got to go and check them all. Or you know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, I guess I think you can set alerts for them and stuff, but it's just, it makes it a little bit more less user friendly, right?
Could be.
It's harder to create that habit of like, let me check this one. Let me check this one. Whereas everybody goes on Twitter and like you said, like we were just saying about the community on X. It's like they kind of moved it and it's not as easy to see it. So you're not checking it as much. But if you just go on Twitter, I just look at my people for you. That's what I stick with. There you go. Yeah. And I see what everybody's saying. And if I'm tagged, that's pretty much what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for what I'm tagged with. Boom.
Right. Thank you. Exactly.
And that keeps me busy. And I'm just like, okay, great, 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 great.
But,
I got to, Todd, not, cause I want to get that going too. And it's like, you know, I would love to have a one stop conversation place and, you know, something like that.
Yeah. It's tricky because different people are on different platforms and you know, what's going to work for everyone. And for sure.
And it's
so movies, let's talk movies.
All right. I haven't watched a lot lately, but. Well, this week. What do you got?
Well, and what reminded me is you mentioned my most recent thing in the community there was the t-shirt thing, but then I mentioned Oblivion. And I'm really getting a kick out of watching, because when the new movie comes out, I'll watch it, you know. So now that I have the theater, you know, Top Gun Maverick, I watch it as soon as it comes out in the theater. But there's so many older movies that I just haven't seen yet, and movies that I love. But I just, you know, I haven't got around to seeing them. And in my mind, I've seen them so many times that I don't think like, well, I just saw that like last year and it's really been like 3 years. So I've saw it pre-theater.
Yeah.
So two movies that I've had for a long time. First of all, what I put in the community was Oblivion.
I
watched that for the first time in the theater, and that has great surround sound. And if you have some decent subs,
it's got good bass.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anytime that little scout vehicle that Tom Cruise is in, I don't know what it was called, but the one he flew around and did his maintenance work. Anytime that was on screen and it would be flying around, especially sometimes it flies around the room or it's just in front of you. Like the bass on that is just for real, like wow, like infrasonic low stuff. So that was a lot of fun. I had no idea how good that would be. And that wasn't Atmos. I think it was a 5.1 DTS, if I'm not mistaken. It was a 4K. But then, so the other night, for the first time in the theater, I watched Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh,
so again, older movie.
I haven't seen that in so long.
I just, I really like Tarantino movies. Yes. I just like his style, even though almost every movie of his is different, other than it's usually dialogue heavy. They're still very, very different from each other. But so Kill Bill, I love it so much, but I hadn't watched it in the theater yet. And the surround sound in that, and I mean, it was upmixed to use the Atmos, right? But, and that's just a 5.1, but you know, when she's fighting the crazy 88 in that bar and, you know, things are shattering off of the walls. I mean, it shatters off of my walls and just done so well. And that, you know, that's just HD, you know, that hasn't come out in a 4K Atmos. So it's just Blu-ray quality with a 5.1, and it was incredible, but I had never experienced it like that.
Yeah.
And if you've watched something for years and years just on a TV and speakers, and actually, you know, I might have even pulled a Steve George a few times and I'd watched on my computer or my iPhone or whatever, you know, but never in a dedicated, truly built theater that was just like, oh my gosh, it was so good to see. And that's not even, you can't say that's an old movie, but an older movie.
Yeah.
That it was so neat to see that as it's intended. And, so what else? I saw, I didn't even know Rudy had a director's cut or an extended edition. I can't remember what it's titled.
Yeah.
But so I'd watched Rudy in 4K that I think 4K. Okay. So Kaleidoscape just got 4K on that pretty recently.
On Rudy?
And yes. And you were talking about it, in the regular with the triplets. And I said, oh, I need to get that because I saw that it was upgraded to 4K, but through something, I don't know if it was in your podcast or whatever, I came to realize that there was a director's cut, an extended cut. Like what? And I love that movie so much. So I'm not positive, but that might be one of the Shout Factory ones. So I knew it wasn't, it was some company that, or Arrow.
Yeah.
It's a company that.
One of the boutique studios.
I think it is. So I knew Kaleidoscape was not going to get it in the near future with the director's cut. So I'm like, oh, I have to get that. So I watched that in 4K. So the best I had ever seen it. That was great. Seeing the extended cut really was awesome because it brought some more characteristics and in-depth thing to some of the characters. So that was really cool. But seeing that in 4K was, you know, the best I had ever seen it. And I want to say it's Atmos.
Is it
that I can't remember if that was Atmos or not, but the stadium sounded great.
Yeah.
You know, so those scenes. So I saw that recently. That was good. The Abyss, which went through a few iterations when it first came out.
Yeah.
On
Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. Like it came out, I think Kaleidoscape and streaming or whatever, like it was just in 4K, but it was only, I think Titanic did the same thing. Like, yes, it came out in 4K, but it only had a 5.1, and then it had an Atmos, and then they had different versions. So it took a while, and Aliens, like those, all the Cameron, right? For whatever reason, it didn't come out all at once. 4K, right. Atmos, whatever. So I don't know why that happened. So I had watched it in what was it?
You
for some
the,
reason,
you remember
I had
the
to watch it in
edition
HD.
Was in HD. That's what
that
remember?
Was. It was probably the special edition was not. Yes, it was only HD. But I wanted to see the special edition because it adds so much to it.
You and
but
I I'm talked like, about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't in 4K. So I watched it in HD, and then like the first time that Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, whatever her character is, the first time she encounters one of the alien ship
pieces
things.
Thing.
Yeah.
The water.
And it flies by her, you know, and she reaches up touches
it.
There's a lot of artifacting.
Oh, really?
Like I was like, oh, gross. Like, and this is supposed to be Blu-ray quality. There was a lot of banding and artifacting. And I was like, and it was the first time that my kids were seeing the movie and they didn't really say anything. I mean, they're older, but they probably realized it. Like they, but they were just thinking, it's dad's, you know, 1980s movie technology. Right. And I was just like, I was so disappointed. So then I can't remember if it was the special edition, which I think now has 4K. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and look. But a few days later, I went back and watched either the theatrical or whatever it was. And I watched that scene in 4K. Totally different. Like, oh my gosh, so much better. Like no artifacting, no banding.
Yeah.
It was clear, crisp. It was like it was made last year. It was really good. So yeah, I love that. Obviously those, a lot of the camera movies are finally coming out. I haven't purchased True Lies yet. So I'm interested to see how that's going to look in 4K, but
I like it. So it's soft. There's some issue. Like okay. people are disappointed. It's kind of, but I'm wondering like, so you heard us, I know you were in the chat yesterday, but the one, that we just watched, The Island, and they did.
Yeah. Remember I haven't seen that in years.
I didn't even know I'd seen it. That's
yeah. Like, Ewan McGregor, Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. I have it on the list now because it's
fun.
It had to have been at least, I'd say 10 years since I've seen that movie. Oh, yeah. I remember liking it.
Longer than that for me. I'm pretty sure it's longer than that. Okay. But there is some of that, like on Scarlett Johansson's face, it's like blurred and you're like, it's noticeable because.
Is it like DNR?
No, I think they literally, like somebody in the chat yesterday said she did get injured filming. So maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember someone saying that.
Yeah. So they fuzzied it out.
Huh?
They fuzzied it out, but it reminded me of a lot of True Lies. Like when you're looking at it, and it's especially on our screens, right? Like you got 150, I'm at 110, and it's like we're sitting close and you're looking and you're like, you're expecting to see detail in the face. But then there was just, it's just like softer. Like, but not like, remember back, Moonlighting? Did you watch Moonlighting in the 80s?
The TV show with Bruce Willis? Yeah.
And that was the first time I was like introduced to that effect where like they look at Bruce Willis and you'd have that like a gritty, like detailed shot of him because he's a guy, so you get the wrinkles and the
then we flash to Cybill Shepherd,
and it was like there was a fog in the room. It was like everything was like blurred, you know. So like they softened the crap out of it, and then they go to Bruce Willis, and you're like, look at the stubble, and then you go back to her, and you're like, maybe she had the stubble, and they didn't want you to see it. I don't know, but it wasn't to that degree, but. There were times in True Lies where you're like, oh, their faces look softer, but then there were other parts where you were like, wow, I could see like the crow's feet in their eyes or the wrinkles in their forehead. And then all of a sudden they'll go to like, you know, Tom, what's his name? The sidekick there. He's, Roseanne's wife, husband.
Oh, Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold.
So they go to Tom Arnold and you'll be like, where'd the wrinkles in his forehead go? So it was just a weird thing that I don't
like weird choices that they made. Like,
but I don't think it was, I don't think it was in the restoration. I actually think it's the way they shot it.
Maybe different lens.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but some people were very unhappy with it. I love the movie. I think it's hysterical. Yeah. I love, you know, Arnold and Tom together. I think it's, I mean, the two of them are hysterical. So I just have so much fun with that movie, you know, but it's, I don't know. It's some people don't like it, but I love it. So, but that's me, right?
Yeah.
What don't I like? But you know what I did buy yesterday? You know, remember in the show yesterday, I was like, cha-ching, I bought it because Steve was talking about it, but I saw you in the chat. I forget what you said about it, but it was because of you that I was like, bloop. So while Steve was talking about the movie, I had bought it, screen grabbed it, and I put it up, Annihilation.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, what scene did you say? You said something about bass or something like that, that I was like, you were like blown away by something. So I was like, I gotta get this.
So we can do more spoilers on here, you know, cause all the animals have mutated, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Okay. I've seen it.
But for everybody else listening, maybe some spoilers for Annihilation, but it's not really. Yeah. I mean, it's a weird movie.
Yeah. Anyways. So all the animals have mutated in this, whatever the shimmer, right?
Yeah.
And then, so there's a bear. And remember the bears? Do you remember how the bear the bear's voice, the bear's, how the bear sounds.
Somebody said that in the chat. Yeah. Somebody said it in the chat yesterday. Yeah. The screen.
So you go watch that in your theater with the lights out. Well, now you're going to
always watch it with the lights out. You say that like I'm in there going, with the lights
out.
Dude,
that movie hits and the sound that the bear makes is not a bear sound. And it doesn't, it's not like you see the image right in front of you and it makes this sound right in front of you. It comes from the back corner, you know, A Quiet Place. You're like, what the hell? Yeah. And you turn around and you just know you're going to be dead. Because it's not the sound of a growling bear. Like, right. What the F was that? And it is freaky as hell.
That's awesome.
But it's done very, very well.
Yeah.
And especially when you're in a dark room and you're engrossed in that, you're like, dear God. Because you don't expect that. And it's a scare. It's a disturbing sound. It's a disturbing sound.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, that's a great movie. And visually, with that shimmer and how they did it.
Yeah.
It's very – you can't really – it's hard to explain that movie because it's – at times it's odd and it's – there's parts that are kind of gross.
But you're intrigued.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just different. It's a different feeling. And sometimes you don't know where it's going and you're like, you're kind of creeped out a little bit. So yeah, it's a good sci-fi mixed up with horror and not very bloody. I mean, it's nothing like Event Horizon, you know, if you're not into that type of gore, it's not gory. But yeah, it's a sci-fi thriller, horror type movie. So yeah, that's a good one for sure.
Yeah, so that's why I grabbed that one. I'll try to watch it.
You'll like it.
But yeah, I'll try to get maybe this week. I don't know. It's funny because like we do this on the show and like one of us will talk about something and then the other ones, like even when John was here and it's like, that sounded great. So then we end up talking about the same thing again the next week. And I'm like,
right. Because then the next person.
Yeah. Had to watch. And you're like, I don't want to be repetitive, but at the same time, screw you.
Because a lot of times that's what we're doing too. Yeah, I would assume the average listener you'll say something like, dude, I haven't seen that in 15 years. I'll go back and then I'll go buy it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so good. So then that when you guys revisit it, then now I have more. A lot of
people have seen it. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But, it's like, it's funny with the island though that I'm like, I feel like I had seen it, but I'd forgotten. I was like, what is that movie? But then once I started, I was like, I got this. Kill Bill's another one that is one see, what's funny is you built your theater, but you hadn't had like a legit theater ever or in a long time.
I had a 5.1 very home theater in a box, JBL with like
in the living room, right? Not a dedicated
room. It was literally in the living room. And I think it was a 90-inch, maybe 95-inch screen with an in-focus projector.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a business projector. And we're talking back like 2006. Business.
Doing a lot of slides.
Slideshows ready for anything. Yeah. So nothing even close to what I have now. So I'd never seen it.
Most of the people listening don't have what you have close to what you have.
Come on over. I'll give you a demo.
I've had this theater obviously 24 years, 23 years, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it started with a 65 inch, you know, in wall, like I put in the wall and I progressed from there. So some of these movies I've seen in my theater, but
not this version of it.
Nope.
Yeah.
And that's what the other thing that's fun is like, even when you upgrade, like the upgrades, having having a Lumigen now, having the pre-pro and the SVSs now, especially that I haven't seen some of these in maybe 10 years. Like you said, like Kill Bill, I might not have seen in maybe 5 or 6 years. So that's a different projector. You know, with no processor and obviously different speakers, different audio processing then.
Well, what you should do if you have them both, if you already own both on Kaleidoscape, download, go to the Kaleidoscape owners forum and someone has done a script. I haven't done it yet. I haven't done it yet, but I want to. I'm curious. And they have taken one and two. Do you remember Quentin Tarantino just in a theater? I don't know if it was around the United States or just in California at the Cinerama Dome or something. He did a special thing where he did, I don't know if he called it The Bride. What did he call it?
don't know.
Everyone's going to know but me, where he took one and two and put them together.
Okay.
As one movie. He edited really? Together as one movie. And it was very, like, everyone wants it to come out.
Yeah,
everyone wants him to make the movie of it to watch. They want the Blu-ray. They want the, you know, the 4K of it. And I don't know if that'll ever happen. What's it called? Oh, dang it. Kill Bill.
Let's see.
The whole bloody story. The whole bloody story.
Okay.
I'm gonna call it that. You know, it might not be exact. Well, The Bride is what you'll see that at the end, like based on The Bride by Q and U, which is Quentin and Uma. I think it was their maybe like their idea.
Yeah.
That's it. You'll see that at the end credits. But yeah, the whole bloody affair. That's it. So everyone's screaming that's still watching us or listening. Yeah. It's Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair. And it's just one and two combined with a little bit more animation for parts of it that had animation. So anyway, obviously you can't find that other animation to make it on Kaleidoscape or whatever. It might be on, you know, YouTube somewhere or something. But anyway, so the scripts, right? So we can make scripts, we can choose scenes. So someone has made a script on Kaleidoscape combining one and two and doing best possible to make that look like one movie. I don't know what it looks like on Kaleidoscape. I mean, it's not like it wouldn't be seamless.
I was going to say, can't do seamless scenes, right? Yeah,
it is one big movie. It's one big movie. I mean, with like, it was what, almost two years in between, a year and a half in between.
Yeah.
But they both go together. You know, it is. It's literally one right after the other. And they're so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, I love those movies so much.
Is it one or two that has where she's buried?
That's two.
Yeah. That scene in a dedicated theater where you have the lights off and everything goes off and the sounds around you and like her breathing in the dirt. And you're just like, I can't even say that's a demo scene because you would scare the crap out of people. Like Top Gun scenes, Maverick, you know, do some loud scenes and then go, throw this scene in, and then all of a sudden you're like,
right.
And people would be like, where's the black door? And you get hear me them, out.
You hear Michael Madsen throwing the dirt on the casket, right?
Yeah.
Like you hear, and you see a little bit of light, and then you see the nails go down, and then and no light because now the casket.
But your room top goes is on. Black. And like you can't see because there's not a light in the room. Obviously the projector's still on, but you can't see. I remember my wife and I, like, you can't see your hand. You can't see. I mean, your room is just dead black. And you're like,
and that makes me think of another movie. Sound. Have you seen the Ryan Reynolds movie that's called, I'm going to call it Buried, but I don't know if that's the right name.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is called Buried. Yeah, I have not seen
that. And that was before I knew who Ryan Reynolds was, right? That was like pre. You know,
was it
who he is today? I don't. You know, I don't even know if he was a really known name back then. But it was more of a B-budget movie.
Come on!
But I wonder what that's like.
I knew who he was. You know, two guys and a girl in a pizza place.
See, I guess I don't. My Ryan Reynolds history isn't what it needs to be. I guess.
Oh, we loved that show. Buried was from 2010.
Was it that new?
Yeah.
I thought it was, I would have guessed earlier than that. Yeah. So I wonder what that sounds like. I wonder how well that is in a theater environment. You know, that same panic type of closing in around you.
Yeah.
I have to check that out.
Yeah. That's why I didn't see it yet. I was just like, because the one in Kill Bill is like, you don't know it at the beginning of the movie. It ends up happening and you're like, oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's great. That I love, and for some reason we've been talking about them a lot lately. Those demo scenes that are more about the lack of sound than they are about the sound.
Yes,
you know.
Yep.
But that's, you know, if you have a good sounding room and you take all that away, it's super effective.
I love how that happens in Gravity. So if you watch Gravity from the very beginning, and there's some opening thing that says space is impossible.
Yeah.
And it builds up. There's this crescendo where it's almost like it's overwhelming sound and instruments. And then it goes, boom, silence. And that silence is so effective there that it's deafening how silent.
Yeah.
Because they go with this loud sound to like to nothing. And I don't think anything has done it so well as that for
that's why we keep impact. Referring to it. It's always like, it's the, that's what I said about Sunshine. It's like the gravity.
I got to see
this.
That. That's on my list now.
Yeah.
That's on my wish list on Kaleidoscape because I have not seen that.
Yeah.
And so if it's like Event Horizon without the amount of gore, because I'm not really a gore guy, that really intrigues me about Sunshine. So I got to see that.
A little bit. I mean, people die.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there might be a death or two. I can handle death.
Yeah. Let's be honest. They head into the sun.
Right.
It usually doesn't end well.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Doesn't go the way you think, but yeah, it's good. Okay. That one there, it's so funny because we're thanking him now and I feel like such a donkey because it was almost a year ago he told me about that.
Who was that? The Toby?
Todd Anderson.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if he said it on the show or we were talking afterwards, but he was like, it's only in HD and it's this thing. He goes, but it's a crazy movie. He goes, you'll really like it. And I bought it right. It's one of those things. I bought it right away. And then it was, you know, oh, I got to get to that. And I don't even know what made me watch it this time. Maybe when he was on, I was like, all right, now I got to do that.
Yeah. Well, whenever I hear, you know, either, you know, your podcast or something, I'm not sure. You know, I just hear it. I'm like, oh, I got to put that. There's no way I'm going to remember it. And if I forget to like put it in my phone. So I just add it to the wish list of Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't, I might not get it right away, but then I have my list of things and having, you know, because in two clicks I can add something to the wish list. So then at least I know the movies that I want to see that someone mentioned.
I have so much in my wish list. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to do it with what I tracked my movies with one of those apps, like the DVD collectors or whatever
had.
And I used to do it that way. And I still wasn't super effective at it because I'd still buy doubles. At least now with Kaleidoscape, I've literally tried to buy something again. And they're like, oh, I can't. I already own it. I texted John.
I already have that.
Yeah. I was like, look at John. It's saving me money already.
Jeez. Yeah. Here's all my wish list. And some of these I've seen, but I just have, these are all my wish lists.
Beekeeper? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one I've seen. I'm just waiting for it to go on sale.
Yeah, it's $29.99.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
And eventually, did I like the movie? Sure. Yeah. I liked it, but I haven't watched it in the theater.
You haven't?
No, because I'm cheap. Oh. I'm waiting for $15.90. I'm waiting for $14.99 or $9.99.
I rented it, but it was like
you rented it.
I rented it, but I couldn't own it, so I just rented it from Kaleidoscape
and watched it.
My wife and I watched it, and we were just like, "Whoa, that was dumb." It was like, a decent home theater movie, but it was dumb.
Yeah, but some of his movies are because they're just like pure action.
No, like, well, I came out of the theater and I told my son was sitting right outside the room, right? And he goes, what'd you think? And I go, that was dumb. And he looks at me and goes, have you seen Crank? I go, but that was super funny and super fun, right?
Yeah,
the entire premise of it, it's like Speed. In a person.
Yeah.
right. Same thing, right?
His heart's going to explode if he doesn't stay at a certain,
Yeah, exactly. But Beekeeper, it was like at every turn, you're like, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like I don't want to talk spoilers because I know a lot of people haven't seen it and John liked it. Ironically, we went, but even John and I, we had our spoiler conversation. I was like, seriously, John, what about that? He goes, oh yeah. And he agrees with me on it. He goes, but I just have fun with it. I go, maybe it was just like Jen and I were like, what the heck? Cause it actually takes place in Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And I had a little issue with that, not in the way that Steve did, but the idea of this entire premise taking like the entire thing took place in one state. Like it's a global thing. And like, what are the odds? Like, all of this is going on in one state.
Yeah, that's a good point. You
know? I was like, there is no way. You're like, imagine right now you go online, just search for any online entity.
Yeah.
And they're right down the street. Uh-huh. It's like, come on. I was just like, what is this? And that, I'm like, it's, oh, look, they're right there within driving distance.
So convenient.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's the budget. Yeah. They didn't want to be jet setters.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's easier to be forgiving, I think, of 80s and 90s movies that are just like just right. pure action. But like, if it's modern, yeah, it's easier to critique those as like, I mean, maybe I don't know, like,
maybe I'm getting spoiled and I don't want to pat like ours, like the show on the back, but we have better writers that have been on the show.
Like, yeah.
It's like, come on, like hire Carl. He'll come on. He could write a better movie than that, you know? Right, exactly. And it's like, so now I'm like, you know, but I do, I love a good action movie. I love the action in Moonfall, but dear God,
it's so goofy. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Or like Sisu, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. Sisu, it's great. It's fun. The Nazis get theirs again, just like I love Inglourious Bastards. Like anytime we can, you know, do some good things or some bad things, however you want to look at Nazis.
Revisionist history.
Like do it again. Do it again. But it got so crazy at the end. I'm like, really? So right. I liked it and I wanted to like it more, but it got so over the top that I'm like, meh. It turned into a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that plane scene.
Come on. I mean, I'm not saying I would rewrite it because, like, it is what it is. Like, okay, if that's right. what you wanted to do.
Right.
But but now he's immortal. Now he's beyond Rambo. He is a cartoon character like Wile E. Coyote. You know?
I almost said that too, but it's like, I mean, you see Captain America do stuff like that, but he's Captain America.
Right.
And they actually, you know, rationalize that away.
Right, because you know, they make it a reality. He's a super soldier. He's taken a special serum. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just that. And as long as
we have that willful suspension of disbelief in that, then we can explain anything. Right. Yeah. But they didn't do that with Sisu. It's supposed to be a regular human.
Yeah. What was he, a goat herder or something at the beginning?
Like, right. Exactly. Like, he's just a prospector, right?
Yeah. Don't make them angry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's getting harder for them to come up with good action sequences.
I know. Like,
invent them. Poor Roland Emmerich has got worlds colliding.
Yeah. Did you see Expendables 4?
I love the Expendables movies. Okay. Love them. And they're ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Beyond.
Yeah.
So beyond ridiculous. But they're fun.
But they're meant to be. And they're laughing at it. You know, they're doing that. Like I saw, what was it when I talked about three, I talked about three and four recently on the show or last year. I can't remember which one it was, but there was a scene in one of them where they're all like just walking through a jungle, right? And they've got they're all got their guns and
strapped down.
They're like just going, walking through the woods. And all I could think of was when we were kids and like me and my buddies in my neighborhood, and we were like, I was probably like, say, 9. My buddy was 12, and he's the leader, and he's like doing the hand signals and telling, and we're like stomping through the poison ivy and ferns and stuff. And we'd all lay down, and we're like following or tracking imaginary people. Like,
sure.
Just imagining this. And I'm like, that's what these guys are doing. Only they're 70, 80, you know, almost 80-year-old men, 60s to almost 80-year-old men. Yeah.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, and I almost called my buddy, and I was like, we just got to do this. Like, go back to the old neighborhood and just start walking through the woods. The only problem is the woods we were going through are now all developments, and we'd all come out with, like, makeup on our face and guns.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble. You'd be in jail pretty quick.
Yeah, because we do it with paintball guns now and be like, why is DJ arrested?
Yeah.
Oh,
Expendables 5.
Expendables 5. We're not so expendable.
Yeah.
Well, we are expendable. Like, DJ's show's canceled because he's in jail.
Yeah. That'd be a good story.
Yeah.
If and I got Steve out George is flying it. Out here to represent you. And
yeah, exactly. Steve doing the show. Well, DJ's got, you know. 8 to 12.
Yeah.
For scaring the crap out of a family with a paintball gun.
Yeah.
Oh, but.
Did you see, I think I recommended you a little while ago. Did you ever get around to seeing the series, the Paramount series called The Offer?
No.
Because no, it's discounted on Kaleidoscape now. The Offer is another the story of the producer that bought the rights to The Godfather. So Godfather writer. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Coppola?
No, not Coppola, but the book, right? So it was a book before Puzo, Mario Puzo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mario Puzo's The Godfather, right? So it's getting Coppola, it's getting the story. The producer's job is to find the talent. So it's his story. And, you know, so he's fighting the studios that don't want to do it. He's fighting Frank Sinatra, who thinks he should be in more of it. And then, not Frank Sinatra, but the guy in The Godfather who represents Frank Sinatra, who's in with the mob, which Frank Sinatra is kind of in with the mob, right? In real life. But so this guy was representing him. And so it's the union. It's the people that didn't want to do a mob movie. The Teamsters and the mob that together, they didn't want to make this happen. So it's this guy, and it's played by Miles Teller. And how did he make The Godfather happen with all of these odds against him and the deals he had to make? I mean, he had to meet with the mob. He had to meet with Mario Puzo, who knew that lifestyle, and he had to make the union, the, you know, so the Teamsters, all the people, the production, right? So all the people that are running sound and all the things behind the camera, you name it. Oh, everyone behind the camera who are in unions, who are kind of in bed with the mob. You know, not officially, but, and then, so if the mob says to shut down, the unions are like, we're not working today. So he had to make all that work. It's just an amazing story and so stressful. It's like, I would equate it to, I reference one movie into another. Have you seen Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler?
No, I haven't seen that one either.
Oh, my
God. And I know that's
amazing. Okay.
I know.
You heard about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so stressful. You don't watch that, right? You, unless you can watch that and go, at least I'm not that guy. Maybe you have that mentality, or it will stress you out to the point of the DJ is going over the edge. It is such a stressful movie that maybe you don't need this in your life right now.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm talking, because it is nonstop stress. So I was going to equate The Offer to Uncut Gems as just, it's so stressful because you're like, this guy's going to die. You know, how is he getting out of this? And it's one deal into another deal. I'll scratch your back, but then I'll make you scratch this guy's back and scratch. And it's so stressful. Yeah. Those two are great. So Uncut Gems, see that movie when you feel you can. But The Offer is really good. And it just came out on Kaleidoscape recently for sale. For
just saw a discount. $9.99.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's $9.99.
Is it that low?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is it that low?
$19.99. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's 9 or 10.
10 movie, 10 shows. 10 episodes.
10 shows, right. So, $20 for that isn't a bad deal. Because I think, I remember what it was on a discount for, but that's a good one if for those that want to see how The Godfather was made. And then I went back, you know, and say, you know, how accurate is it? And there weren't a lot of liberties taken. Like a lot of it was true to form. So that to know that, as, you know, if you're going to believe the people that said that it was true, that's good because I do like things like that try to stay as true to the what really happened. Like unbelievable what it took to make that movie work.
Yeah.
So The Offer.
Nice. Yeah. It's so funny you say that about like stressful things. It's like John and I had that conversation a long time ago. Mentally he's different than I, like he's less emotional, we're both on like the opposite ends of like a typical guy's emotion. Right.
Okay.
So like I'm more emotional. Like I mean, to be honest, I'd say I veer towards more like female emotion. Okay. Like I'm very emotional. I get super excited, but that as a guy, it comes with, and I used to say this about Tom Brady. Everybody thinks he's a great guy. He's this and look at how fired up he gets. It's like when people are emotional, they get really excited and they have tons of passion. They're like, yes. Well, every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So as high, as excited as you get,
you, then when he's sad,
oh you get, my God, yeah. you get really either sad or angry. So wicked bad temper, right?
Uh-huh.
John is like, he's just stoic, you know,
he's just beep,
beep, beep, beep. Beep. And it's so, and what's funny is, but he has a temper too, but people like that, it's like when they get angry, it's a different kind of like, I get out of control angry. John just gets stubborn angry. And it's just like,
okay.
So it like holds like a big boulder. Like you're not moving them. It's, uh-huh. like, it's like, but it's just where I'm like dynamite. Like I go boom. But anyways, how that relates to movies is he'll watch movies to like feel emotion. Like, oh my God, that made me feel emotion. Like he looks, so he'll see movies like you were talking about or a really sad movie and he'll be like, I actively avoid those because it's like, I'm not in the mood for that. I can't handle it because I will get emotional about it and I'll hold it for a while. Right. So it's like, and that's,
yeah, don't do Uncut Gems.
Right.
Don't do it. Like, I want you to do it because I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can handle that right now, man.
No.
And it's so stressful.
Yeah.
It's so stressful.
So that also is like why I watch movies over and over. That's relaxing to me, right? I learned that in child psychology about little kids and why, like, not even little kids, babies, infants, they prefer to see, like, if you put something on for them, they want to see that same block moving across the screen or whatever.
Right.
Because it's so relaxing to them. Because think of like an infant's day. They know nothing. They're that person that just came out of the ocean. They have no idea about anything. So everything they
easily
see
stimulated.
Everything, but they're learning 24/7.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything.
So if you can, if they get the opportunity as like a 3-month-old to see the same thing, do you know how relaxing that is to them? Like, oh my God, I know this. And they can just, that's them vegging out. Right. So it's super relaxing to them. I heard that and I was like,
cause it's familiar.
Exactly. They don't have to learn. They're not actively doing anything. They're just like, I know this.
Yeah.
That's me in Star Wars. When I learned that in 1989 in a child psychology class. Right. And I'm like, that's me in Star Wars. I just like to watch it over and over. Yeah. But then I also look for other things, which is what I do. But it's like, it's relaxing to me. I'm not getting emotional. I know the next scene. Maverick, we all know it. I'm not going to spoil anything. First time I saw Maverick, I was so happy when he lived at the end. Because for me, if they had killed off the character.
Right.
I don't think I would have been able to rewatch that movie over and over because I was so emotional. Like you were so emotionally attached to them.
Yeah.
Especially at the end of that movie, if he had sacrificed himself and you would have been like, I can't watch this again. You know, kind of like John Wick. Don't we all put in John Wick and like skip past the dog part and get to the, you know, right after that and be like, all right, here we go. All right. I'm ready to go.
Great.
And it's like, at least I do. Like, I don't need to see
because Cruise could have, he could have easily have killed Maverick.
Yeah.
Right? That could have been it.
I was expecting it. I was expecting it. I'm like, why not? Yeah. I'm like, he's older. The movie, the way he's saying goodbye to everybody and his crew chief there, he's like, it's been a pleasure work for you. I'm like, come on. They did it so much that while I was watching the movie, I'm like, maybe he does live. But I was totally expecting it. Once he lived, I go, I will never stop watching this movie. Like it's got a happy ending. It's got everything, you know, I mean, even in, especially I thought in the original, Goose died. That was crushing. That was different, especially in the
ending. Like Maverick's going to go see Goose now.
Yeah. I thought, okay.
They could have totally done it.
Part one, Goose dies. Part two, Maverick dies.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and now the story goes on. With a, you know, Goose's son. So it's like, but the fact that it's like, yay. And I can't wait to get the email and somebody, you just spoiled Maverick for me. Seriously?
Right now, yeah. It serves you right. You should have seen that by now.
No, it's like when I was waiting for what?
Right.
The 8K? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. No, everyone should see that by now. That's disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just joking. But yeah, it's stuff like that. It's like, you know, want to know one of the most emotional things? It was a series, a mini series.
Okay.
You remember Stephen King's,
The Mist?
Nope. Stephen King's, I think it was Storm of the Century. It was a mini series.
Saw that.
Okay.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah, I think it was Storm of the Century, right? And it was about like the devil comes back to a small town, an island in New England.
All right.
And he needs a child. Huh. And the town has to vote. Otherwise the devil will die. So you sacrifice a child, or if you don't, he's going to make the town walk into the ocean.
Oh, wow.
But if you don't sacrifice him, like especially this one, he could die off, right? And that's how in the story, that's how the devil gets his life. He needs the child to okay. And I mean, sorry, I'll spoil it. If you have this thing's 20 years
old. Over 20 years old. That's not gonna bother me. Yeah.
They sacrifice a child, but they had stories in the series. They were like, this town just apparently walked into the ocean 1 year, 100 years ago. And then they rebuilt the town, right? So everybody came, or new people moved in. Well, this town voted for the child. And I was like, how do you, and we had just had our son. And I'm like, how do you give up your child? How do you give up a child? My wife and I was like, weeks. I couldn't get that out of my head. I was like, what are you doing? How could anybody ever? I'm like, there is no way. I would never, ever. I'm like, no, you'd have to kill me.
That's messed up like The Mist.
Yeah.
Another Stephen King.
Don't tell anybody that one. I haven't seen that one.
That's messed up, man. That Mist will mess you up for a long time.
So I'll wait on that one. Go watch it. Watch it. TJ's like, So, yeah. No, I get all worked up on stuff like that. But at times I like it.
You know? Okay, so maybe I missed that. You have not seen The Mist, you haven't read it, and you haven't seen the movie.
No. No.
Oh. Yeah, you should watch it. Oh my gosh. Like the movie's okay, but then at the end you're like, wow. Okay, that's where they went.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should watch it. I'd like to hear you talk about it. That's all I'll say.
I will someday. I will.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what? This is more about the poor people listening. It's pretty funny. It's killing me. Look at your screen, right? And look at where you're sitting. Look at my chairs, the blue chair under you. It almost perfectly matches your black chair, but your head is huge for the bottom of my chair. Other way, you have to slide.
I can't get the angle to straight, but yeah.
And now slide your head the other. There you go. Now it looks like your head is sitting exactly in my theater, but your head is like four times too big.
Yeah. That's weird how that aligned like that.
For people that have seen the YouTube channel, you'll see my background. The blue is a blue. You know, version of my theater, and John's sitting right where Steve would be on the show, but it's
in almost my theater perfectly,
chair. In his theater chair is almost perfectly lined up with my theater chair.
Yeah. I totally didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But your head is huge because it's right. Too close. That's funny. But
yeah, I can back it up like that.
Yeah. Now you're lining funny. Up. It's really messing me up.
You're right. Yeah. I don't know if that helps or is more distracting.
But I got to go. I got to eat and I got to get up. But John, thank you so much for cheering me up.
All right.
Thank
you. Hang in there, DJ. It's all going to work out.
I know. But not even just, I'm not kidding.
It has to work out.
I'm not kidding you. And I've gotten messages. Mikey Schramm was one of them saying like, you know, you see the bright side and stuff. And it's like, you, John, it's like, and I said it in the show, and that's why I reached out to you right after I recorded that. I was like, we got to do this. It is that inspiration, right? It's like, it gets stressful. And sometimes when you are stressed out, you go you take it too seriously. You go too far and you think doomsday stuff, right? But then I do think of like everything that you went through, and it's like somebody always has it worse, and people had it worse than you, of course, you know, but it's like, but it is the journey, and we'll look back on it like, remember when you were like, it's like, you know, things happen, and look at you now. Yeah. You're hosting. I meant to ask you that earlier. How many people can you legitimately sit down in your theater to comfortably watch a movie?
Well, I have the four Tuscany chairs.
Yep.
The Valencia chairs. Then behind that is a couch that can sit. Well, it was sitting five.
Okay.
Male adults, but you could go six. But there was five male adults back there, so that's nine. And then I have my Star Wars tables behind there that's at the bar level, so it's a next height.
How's the experience and that, back
and there's
there?
Four chairs. There's four chairs there, and then I have a moon pod that you can get off of like Amazon.
Yeah,
it's like a beanbag.
Yeah,
I have that in front for like if a kid was in here and he needed an extra seat.
Yeah,
I can throw that down on the floor in front of the. Of now, the seats.
Have you watched a movie from like the back yourself, and have you like to try and experience the different, how is it? Is it a good
balance?
It's
great because I have the two subwoofers back there.
Yep.
It's not much different. And in some ways the bass is, in some ways it's actually better because you can feel your pant legs move.
Oh yeah.
From those back subwoofers because you're so close to them that, I mean, you are feeling the air move.
Right.
So that's just it's still very intense back there, which is great.
Yeah, I'm doing a very similar, it's a smaller room, but I'm doing a similar setup to you. My prime seating though is the middle.
The middle, right.
So my front will be a little too close, you know, I'm hoping to get a decent experience and I'll have the bar behind the second row, similar to yours. Yeah. That's what I had in this theater too at one point. But someday. But first, the podcast studio will be done.
That'll be good. And it'll be fun to see you to make that and what decisions you decide to make with all the different components and everything. And
we'll
be part of the build on that too. So that'll be fun to be part of that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the stuff I have here, my SVS stuff, and put that into that theater. And and then Joe, actually, I was actually thinking of, I'm not sure 100% do I buy another receiver or, cause I don't want to put the Marantz and the amps in there. I mean, I could, but then I got to take them out for the other room cause I don't necessarily, but I do want to upgrade the Marantz. I don't know what to do. So, but I got time on that.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, at worst case scenario, I'll just take the stuff I have here and put it to a display in that room.
Yeah.
So that will give, that will buy me some time. And I think, like you said, it would be fun for the listeners. It'll be fun for me. It keeps me active and gives me the ability to build that theater as slow and as easy as I can.
Yeah. So,
but yes.
Cool.
But yeah, John, you very much inspiration, influence, and calming me.
Because
like I said, I'm like, you got to listen to Takeover 2. How many times I mentioned your name? I'm like, I couldn't get like everything you went through with your theater. And it'd be like, and some of that was just like me, I think I bit off too much, you know, so mine's more of an embarrassment thing. Did I do something stupid here? Yeah. You had stuff happen to you that is like beyond your control.
you just got to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's going to work out. It's going to work out.
We'll get
it. It doesn't have any choice. It's gonna.
Exactly.
Everyone's
like
healthy.
Said, it's like I'm halfway down. I gotta pull the chute. I'm gonna land. I hope.
Yeah. Everyone's healthy and yeah, it's just details. It'll all work out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, cool, man. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Don't hang up though.
I'm not.
and what are you gonna do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Almost forgot to do.
I was going to say it.
All right. You want to say it? Go ahead.
No.
Which one do you want to say?
I'm not going to steal their thunder.
I'll do it right now. Which one do you want to do?
Both of them.
All right. What are you going to do? Both.
Go push play. What he said.
That's way better.
Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.